On the show today, we have Rogue Credit Union's very own Gene Pelham talking about how they went from $400 million to $1.5 billion in assets through their long-term member loyalty strategy. So check it out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show, and on today's program, do we have a story for you? We're in store for a treat here. We have Rogue Credit Union's very own president and CEO, Gene Pelham, on the program, and you guys have been up to some pretty cool stuff lately, Gene, and I saw this article on Callahan's, and the title was awesome. It said, Anatomy of a Rogue Credit Union, you know, kind of how to build long-term sustainable success through member loyalty strategy, and you guys have been on quite a journey the last decade or so. So can you tell us about how you guys have become this rogue credit union that you are? I mean, your name is Rogue, but you guys are really setting the standard here for a lot of items here, especially through member loyalty strategy. So can you tell us about your member loyalty strategy just to kind of kick things off here?
Sure, Mike. And it's interesting. Rogue is one of the things that we probably aren't. And, you know, oftentimes we look at it and we say, all of a sudden we're getting all this attention. It only took us 10 years to do that. And I think probably the part that we're the least rogue about is that we've followed the very same strategy for the last 10 years. We've implemented that right at the beginning of the financial crisis without really thinking about the impact of the financial crisis. And all of that just really played into our hands, focusing on a local strategy and focusing on creating loyalty mm-hmm. with our members. And during the financial crisis, we were able to solidify those relationships by investing in our members and helping them through the financial crisis. Yes, our net worth fell. It fell from over 10% to about 7.5%. Oh, wow. But that was with our board's support doing what was right mm-hmm. to build loyalty with members. Mm-hmm. It's easy to be loyal to people when good things are going on, but it's tougher to be loyal when not so good things mm-hmm. are going on. So we were loyal during the tough times, and now, man, are our members ever loyal to us in the good times.
And I think there's a lesson here, too, is like this type of stuff is not an overnight occurrence. You know, this takes time and planning, and this is what you guys do. So what started it all 10 years ago? Because, I mean, this happened in 2008, right?
Right. It started in 2008. I became the CEO in January of 2007. We had a great first year, but our previous CEO was amazing, but he really was the keeper of the kingdom. The strategy was all in his head. We knew we needed to put it down on paper and put it in a way that it would be bigger than just me or our leadership team. It would be something the entire staff could engage mm-hmm. with. And so that's what we worked on this process. We looked at all the strategies out there and who we were, and really Fred Reichheld's The Ultimate Question resonated with me, it resonated with our team. And so in March of 2008, after studying what he was doing, we went all in for loyalty and literally all in. People knew that it took me a while to get to a decision, but once I was there, I was all in, and they wanted, I proved that to them by pushing Ashley Pope across the table.
Love that.
At a team meeting to do that. And now those poker chips have become really symbolic of what we do, and each year staff members at our Columbus Day event that are new to the organization, have been with us for at least 6 months, have the opportunity to go all in also.
Right on.
And I have those chips in my it reminds me of the commitment that staff have made to me and my commitment to them too.
Yeah, that's a great metaphor for sure. And before we get into the results, can we get into the weeds just a little bit here? Like, gosh, what exactly did you guys do to kind of earn this loyalty from your members? Because you said at the top of the show, it's easy to be loyal when things are going great, but when things are not going so great, that's where the proof is in the pudding right there. So and you guys started this at the recession, when the economy just kind of blew up in our faces. So quite a challenge there from day one, it sounded like.
It really was, and without a board that wouldn't have supported what I was doing, because I was really swimming upstream from the perspective of, in order to create loyalty, you have to stop worrying about the profit you make off members and think about the value you create for mm-hmm. them. And so here we are doing our first Net Promoter surveys and learning from our members that our rewards account was not rewarding to our members at the time. And so we actually eliminated a fee that cost us $150,000. And so at that point, that was about a half a basis point for the credit union. Mm-hmm. And then we just had our first loss on a commercial loan. We're showing trouble creating profitability. But the board said, you know what? if this is what is keeping our members from being loyal to us, we need to do it.
Right.
And so we made that decision that not only started to win members over, but it was clear to our staff that we were serious about what we were doing and we were going to do what was right for the members. And then throughout the crisis, one of the things that we did is we were loyal to our staff members while other organizations were laying off people and closing branches. We didn't close a branch. We didn't lay anybody off. We gave salary increases every year and only missed our bonus 1 year during the crisis. So it was a lot of little things, Mike. But what it was, I think the most important part is it wasn't just my idea or marketing's idea or ops idea. It was everybody was all in on this strategy. And so where it would be easy to sway off and do some different things, our team stuck to the plan throughout the crisis. And now it's been incredible from a results perspective.
I think there's a word for that, Gene. It's called resilience. Persistence.
And to be honest, I use that word regularly.
Okay.
What we're doing is we're working to build resilience with our members. We know that we have a checking account and a savings account that everybody else has. We know we have an auto loan that's sitting at a dealership that every other credit union, mm-hmm. every other financial institution has. And so we're building resilience through our loyalty strategy that members choose us.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the rate's not the best rate, even if whatever might be, they still are choosing us at
awesome.
Incredible rates. And they're referring their friends and family members. 90% of all new members that join the credit union are referred by a friend or family member.
Wow, you guys have quite the tribe going there. So very nice. So let's get into some results here because they're pretty impressive. And I'll think I'll let you do this because the numbers are amazing. So I'll let you take it from here because it started out... You know, your medium-sized credit union, and now you guys are over, you know, $1.5 billion now?
Yeah, you know, $1.5 billion in assets. We've had, oh gosh, let's see, 12 quarters of double-digit asset
wow.
growth. Yeah, so that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
What's even more amazing is we've had 14 quarters, 3.5 years of double-digit membership growth.
Goodness.
It's still going. It's still going. And that's because, and this isn't a market where... Well, we already serve close to, when you count members and joint owners, probably 35 to 40% of the total market.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we're still growing membership at 10%. We're creating return on assets that is one of the leading numbers in our area. So we're you know, I think we're 142 as of October in return on assets. So that's a good number. That gives us a lot of ability. We can afford the growth that we've had. We just missed hitting our, 11th quarter of share growth of double digits by 12, basically.
Oh, gosh.
9.88. So we were right still on track on that with share growth and our loan growth. Gosh, that's just been crazy recently, and we're 6 quarters consistent
wow.
double-digit loan growth. So it's one thing if you get one of those areas in double-digit loan growth, but to have all of those areas over an extended period of time
mm-hmm.
has been really pretty incredible. It's also challenged us as an organization
right.
From the perspective of, you know, you go from $400 million to $1.5 billion over that 10-year period. Some of a lot of that growth has been recently.
Mm-hmm.
Getting the right staff members, getting the right team, having the right branch network, investing the right amounts in technology. Those have all been the fun opportunities for us now as we've been presented. And I tell our staff every day that we're given a gift.
Mm-hmm.
We're given a gift of their trust. And how we work to earn that trust each and every day is our responsibility. And watching this grow and see staff embrace that, I think that's even more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
The multiple quarters
and the numbers
growth is
yeah.
seeing staff see that there's something bigger to this than the job.
Yeah, because I was thinking in my head, I was like, as you're talking, it's like, because you guys have such tremendous growth and tremendous success and you know, just quarter after quarter of growth. And I'm thinking, gosh, how do you keep from resting on your laurels? And it sounds like you just answered that in the previous response, because it sounds like there's kind of an infectious thing going on at your credit union. We're like, hey, let's keep it going. And it sounds like everyone's kind of aligned in that. So we're motivated to keep this train moving at full speed.
Yeah, you know, and that's probably one of the biggest challenges and the biggest opportunities for us in the future as we bring in new people to fuel the growth that we have, is to bring them up to speed on our loyalty culture and our understanding and getting them to see this as something more than just a job. That's probably a bigger challenge than anything else. Now, we have recently seen our share growth kind of slow down a little bit. We dropped below the 10%. You know, it's interesting that we're so disappointed in 9.8% share growth, but we are, as an organization, wondering what we have to do. But this is a sign of the times. We've been able to create that share growth without changing rates for several quarters. Mm-hmm. We just changed rates for the first time this quarter, and we had to go back and look at past board packets to figure out how to present it. So it's been that long since we've changed our base deposit rate.
Oh my gosh! So what are there, like, a couple of items, or are there a couple of things that have been key to your success that you can really pinpoint? Obviously, it sounds like, I mean, for me, from what you're talking, how you're talking, is like, it's staff has been a big priority as far as a big key to your success, because they're all bought in. They've all bought into this, and they're all motivated to keep this train moving forward, like I said earlier. So is there anything else that comes to mind?
Well, really, it's helping, and it's constantly keeping the why out front.
Okay.
It's understanding the value and the impact that we're creating mm-hmm. for our members. It's putting the purpose before the profit, because staff don't want to work for somebody else to make a profit.
Yeah.
They want to work to profit by themselves earning an income, but at the same time being able to go in the grocery store with their Rogue logo shirt. In fact, at new employee orientation, we warn people is that if they go out in public with their Rogue logo shirt, they're going to ask questions, because they're going to be asked by people on a regular basis. They're going to be told what a great organization they work for. So it really is helping staff understand the why. And then the other part, I think it's been a key for us, is instead of focusing on a demographic target market, we've really focused on a psychographic target market.
Okay.
And that is what we call community builders. This is a community, if we look at the southern part, southwestern part of Oregon, oftentimes it feels like we're not part of the rest of the Oregon, that folks in Portland and Salem think of them, but not us.
Mm-hmm.
So people are somewhat a little bit more independent down here. And so helping them understand that by their support of our credit union, better community, we're very active in the community through engagement at all levels, from myself to staff. We have a great community outreach program. We support a lot of charities in a variety of ways, and so we're actively engaged. So our members see that when they are doing business with us, the community benefits for it. Perfect example, and I think we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but we recently added another benefit to our Rogue Rewards program,
mm-hmm.
and that benefit was just simply depositing an extra $1,000 into your ownership account,
mm-hmm.
and if you would make a donation of $5 to Credit Unions for Kids, you could make that $1,000 deposit.
Huh?
We generated over $40,000
wow.
in donations to the Credit Unions for Kids.
Wow.
And over $3 million in deposits, just by people being engaged and doing something good. And the great thing was, as well, it was $5 minimum deposit. The average was $10.
Goodness.
So those are the things. And so it's connecting staff members with the why, but it's also connecting members with the why.
Mm-hmm.
It's bigger than a checking account and an auto loan at Rogue, and we work really hard to help everybody understand that.
Yeah, and you call it the ownership account. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, part of the loyalty strategy is we had a three-tier filter as a create and keep promoters, or do things that people want to share with others about how mm-hmm. good their experience has been, driving good profits, where everything we focus on is that there has to be a triple win. The member has to win, the staff member has to feel good about what they're offering, and then the credit union has to make enough money off of it to continue the operation.
Sure.
So when we look at that, that was the drive good profit. And the final piece of that was expect and reward participation. As a cooperative, it only works if people join together to help each other out.
Mm-hmm.
So in expecting participation, which we did for 8 years,
mm-hmm.
Because we weren't able to reward participation at that point.
Right.
We expected it. And then in 2016, we paid our first loyalty dividend. And instead of just writing a check to members and having it go off somewhere else, we set up a kind of a unique feature, is what we call an ownership account. And we deposited the money into the ownership account for the members. So it was $2.5 million deposited in there. And the really great thing is it earns our highest rate. It was 3%.
Mm-hmm.
we got a little surprise that we're going to raise that to 4% right after the first of the month.
Nice.
And so the members put that money in there, and as long as they couldn't put any additional money in there, they could take it out at any time that they wanted. But the great thing is they leave it there, because where are they going to get that kind of rate?
Right.
Right. We continue to add features to that, but that was really kind of the original driving part of all of that, setting up this ownership account, rewarding members' participation in the credit union through their participation loans, savings, and electronic services. Mm-hmm. We wanted to drive member behavior that benefited them and benefited us at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about the loyalty filter as well, because this sounds like it was a key fixture as well.
Yeah, and really the three areas I mentioned earlier.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Create and keep promoters, drive good profits, and expect to reward participation. The great thing is that's on every wall. It's on the name badges for the employees. It's everywhere out there. And what we do is we talk to our staff members is if you focus on doing those things, you'll fit within all the rules and guidelines and policies. If you do it from your heart, doing the right thing, and execute and make decisions using that filter, then powerful things happen. That's one of the things I say to all new employees. If you take care of the member, everything else takes care of itself. And guess what? It's kind of taking care of itself right now.
Yeah, very nice. Any lessons learned along the way the last 10 years? Anything that you want to share that might trip some people up that you guys encountered that, hey, you know, watch out for this? Anything like that?
Yeah, it can't be one person's idea. It has to be an organizational commitment, and everybody has to believe. And, mm-hmm. and what we found is those that don't believe don't fit well with us, and they get opportunities to go other places. So I think that's when everybody has to be on board. It can't be just one person's idea.
Right.
It is getting to the why. I think that's so very important. It's never forgetting the why. It's making a difference for the members. Mm-hmm. That's what we're entrusted to do. We have to earn their trust each and every day. We've basically swam upstream in that where a lot of folks were focused on, you know, what their net earnings were during the financial crisis. We were focused on creating value, and I think that's the biggest part. Purpose before profit is a big thing. Focusing on community builders is an important part of us, and then just really our active engagement. Leadership is actively engaged. Perfect example is myself, my executive vice president and CFO, got up, left early at 6 o'clock yesterday morning, drove to our coast branches, which we have 5 branches on the coast, mm-hmm. started at 8:30 in the morning, and visited each of the 5 branches, spent time with the staff reading a holiday poem that's kind of a tradition around here, and then giving them their holiday gift cards. So we're actively engaged. It would be easy to ship those cards through the mail, but we're there in person talking to them, asking about how their kids are doing, those kind of things. So I think that active engagement at all levels is really important, and finding a way for people to be engaged.
Mm-hmm.
I personally have a CEO Advisory Council, which is our annual award winners. We do CEO roundtables on a regular basis. We give our staff members a voice. And it's incredible how they make this credit union better.
I bet. Yeah. And they all, it sounds like they all have kind of a stake in the game as well. They all have a voice, you know? So, hey, I'm part of this, you know, and I have a voice here. So that's huge, especially from the employee standpoint as well. And this question kind of segues from the last, so any lessons learned along the way, but what advice do you have for other credit unions who may be just starting out on this journey, or maybe midway through and just, oh my gosh, we got to get over this hurdle, you know, anything like that to help them out? Any advice?
Yeah, I think the most important part for us is it can't really, while it is a strategy, it has to be who you are. Mm-hmm. It has to be a purpose. If it's just a tactic for the next year or so, then I would suggest don't waste your time. There are other ways to do it, because this is a long and arduous journey. But it's a journey that, if done, we use the term measured methodical, it's a journey that if you approach from a measured methodical place, constantly focusing on the value you create for members, mm-hmm. and engaging your team in creating that value and creating value for them, then you can win. But if at any part along the way you lose your focus, or you get driven by profit motives or whatever, then you lose the trust with your members, and you have to start all over again. It's kind of like that favorite diet that you have so far, and then you do it and you have to start all over again.
Yeah.
It's the same way with the loyalty strategy. Fortunately, I've had a board and a leadership team that has supported me over the last
year. Yeah, that's key.
Executing this strategy.
That's key. Hey, one other question for you, Gene, before I let you go here. I was up at Max a few weeks ago, up at the conference there, and What is in the water in the Northwest? Because you guys, I'm hoping I get the numbers right. You have a 55% market share up in the Northwest. What is going on up there that the rest of us can ingest? What are you guys doing that's so successful up there? Is it just the people, or?
I work with people all over the country in credit unions, and all folks are just great. But what I've seen is this focus and this engagement and a great sharing among credit unions. The Northwest Credit Union Association does an incredible job of bringing credit union leaders together, helping keeping them focused on the purpose of what we do, and giving them the tools and all the skills and everything. The MAX is a great example mm-hmm. in the way that they've raised the level of that conference to where I walked in, I'm going, man, this is like GAC.
Oh, yeah.
This is moving up to that level of quality and the speakers that they bring in there. And so, yes, it's good people, it's good focus, and it's an incredible association helping credit unions succeed in that
yeah.
market.
Good stuff. Yeah, it's a great part of the country, not only for credit unions, just to live as well. So, and you're obviously a part of that. So great stuff. Great work, Gene. And congratulations again on your guys' success. Again, it's not an overnight thing. It takes time, great planning, and of course, the great people behind it all. So good stuff. Any final words of wisdom, Gene, to wrap up here?
Yeah, I think that if I was going to say it, it's really any strategy executed well can be successful. And so this is just a strategy that we've executed well, that we believe in, and that's the why it's worked. And so I just encourage folks to make sure they understand their strategy, understand the whys, and then just execute the heck out of
yeah.
it, and don't give up, and keep focused on the bigger picture, and incredible things happen.
Indeed. Great message to end on. Gene, thank you so much again today. I know you got a busy day ahead of you, so I appreciate the time as always.